Genesis chapter 2. Don't see anybody looking in the index. That's good. Amen. But, just go to Revelation, take a left, right? Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter number 2, we'll begin in verse number 7. But before we do read the Word of God, we'll just preface this message by saying there's a lot of... we see the craziness in the world, and we understand that the world's going to wax worse and worse, and the only one's going to fix this is Jesus Christ. But you have to understand maybe we can't understand the magnitude of the spiritual battle, but I want you to understand that this is a spiritual battle. And we look at this and we try to process all this stuff with our mind, but I don't think it ever changes our heart a lot of times, what we're really in the middle of. And we'll look at some things, hopefully by the grace of God today, in Genesis 2 and 3 that'll help us to see more about what's going on today. And just pray for His appearing even more, amen. But in Genesis chapter number 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there's gold. And the gold of that land is good. There's Delium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden." I want to look at a few things today by the grace of God as we go down through this passage again, and beginning in chapter number 2, verses 7 through 9, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." The first thing I want to see is the desire of God. Now we know from the book of Revelation, we know that man was made for his pleasure. Man was created for God's pleasure. And God's desire was for man to be in a sinless place and in a sinless state. God's desire was for man to be clean. And he takes Adam and he places him in his garden, and God's desire was to provide everything Adam needed. And he did that. It's interesting to me that God planted all these trees that were they were good for food, and it says he planted the tree of life also and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So he planted all these trees out there, and he gave Adam dominion over that place. And you know, later he says, "Don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil." So God's desire was for man to stay clean, in a place clean. And we're living in a sewer. This world is a junkyard compared to what God wants it to be. And it's a dump compared to what it'll be 2 seconds after the Lord hits the ground, after he calls us out of here and after the tribulation. But he still wants his people to be clean. Amen? He gave Adam the opportunity to stay clean by not messing with the knowledge of tree of good and evil. And he gave us a book. And that book tells us what to stay away from. Amen? I mean, it leaves some areas here where God does, it remains silent on things, but he also uses that book and the Holy Spirit to give you some ability to deduce and to use deductive reasoning spiritually to say, if this was wrong back then, it's wrong now. And I'm not saying you have to keep the law to get to heaven. I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist. I'm not saying any of that stuff. I'm just saying that if it was wrong then, it's wrong now. Right. Amen. And if something seems like it's wrong and you're wondering about it, it's probably because it's wrong. Amen? So, I mean, if you're wondering about it, why err on the side of the devil? Why not err on the side of God and say, well, if I'm wondering about it and it could be wrong, why don't I just do what I think God would be happy with? What I'm sure God would be happy with. I told you before, I don't think you're going to get to heaven. You're going to get to the judgment seat of Christ, and he's going to say, well, you could have drank a little wine. You did pretty good, but you stayed away from the grape juice because you didn't want to get drunk, and you could have done that. You'd have still been saved. I don't think he's going to say that. I think he's going to go down through a list of things that you did instead of serving him, amen, and the things that you said you were doing serving him when really you were serving the flesh, trying to get a pat on the back, amen. I believe God's given us a book to guide us and direct us. I believe if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you to guide, direct you, and I believe there are two witnesses in the Word of God and the Spirit of God when you read that book. Amen. I believe that. But God's desire was for man to be clean and to put man in a clean place. You know he's going to put us in a clean place one of these days? Amen. I know we're judged clean because our flesh is already judged dead, and we're judged the righteousness of Jesus Christ, but he's going to put us in a clean place one of these days. Amen? Amen. I mean a place where they won't be playing that puke music that they play at Walmart, in a place where they won't be wearing rainbow hats and all that junk, in a place where men won't be wearing dresses and women trying to look like men and all that stuff. There won't be that going on. There won't be a place where there's preachers up there preaching, well, you can drink a little bit and preach Jesus drank wine. There won't be any of that. You know what there'll be? There'll be absolute truth. But it won't just be in the book. It'll be in your heart forever. You see, God's desire is for man to be clean. Then we see God's direction. Look at 15 through 17 in chapter number 2. "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." The direction of God. You know what God directed him to do? First of all, now I know this isn't going to be popular with a lot of folks that don't understand the Bible, and they try to overdivide this thing and try to mess with the Word of God, but he put him in there to work. Isn't that something? You say, well, God had to, after the fall, Adam had to work. No, God was supposed to dress it and keep it anyway. After the fall, it was just going to be thorns and thistles. He was going to have to toil over the ground. It was going to be an easy job. Yep. It was going to be an easy job. You ever grow tomatoes and you grow them one year, and boy, those things just take off and they blossom and they bloom, and you get the rain at the right time and everything's right, and you go out there and pull weeds like three times in a year. I mean, everything just hits just right, and you get the best crop you've ever seen, and you're like, thank you, Lord. And then the next year, man, those little green tomato worms come up, and they start eating the leaves off that plant. You got weeds growing up there, getting poison ivy, pulling weeds out of that thing, and that ground's cracked open, looked like an earthquake hit it, and then you couldn't grow a tomato on that thing for nothing, and finally it does rain, and they start to burn up in the sun, and you just can't hardly get a crop. You get five tomatoes out of 20 plants, and you're like, okay, Lord, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Genesis chapter 3. But God's intention was for man to be clean and in a clean place, in a sinless place. And God's direction was for him to go in there to work, to dress and keep that place. But you know what else God's direction was? Stay away from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't you wish you could go back in time? I mean, knowing what you know now, and dragging the baggage that you're dragging now, don't you wish you could go back in time and say, I wish when I had the choice to go right or left here, I'd have went the right way? I mean, everybody in here could raise their hand and amen that. Amen. But you know what? After God saves you and makes you clean, you're clean, you're a new creature, He gives you a book and He tells you when and where to turn. If you're listening. It's interesting to think about that. Like we said earlier, he planted all these trees in the garden, and all these trees were good for food. He put the tree of life in there also. And then he puts the tree of knowledge of good and evil in there, and he says, don't eat of that tree. Isn't it interesting that if Adam and Eve would have stayed right, they would eventually, if they had just stayed away from that knowledge of good and evil, eventually they'd have got that tree of life. Eventually, they'd have got, wow, look at that tree over there. That's why I don't believe they were there that long. Before the devil started messing with them. Because eventually they said, look at that. Look at the fruit on that tree. I mean, he was in there to dress it and keep it. He had to be checking the trees out. Amen? And they could have made it to that tree alive. But you know, the devil spends a lot of time tempting people to the knowledge of good and evil. He puts out a lot of effort to get people to go the wrong way. And people don't put out the effort they need to understand how to go the right way. So, well, this world's a mess. It is a mess. I'm not a Jehovah's Witness, but it's a mess. And every time they come to the door, isn't the world a terrible place? You know, I almost feel like not saying that because they say it, but the world's a terrible place. It's wicked. And the only thing left in it that's any good at all is the light seen of Jesus Christ through the believers. But how did it get this way? Because people don't read the Bible. Honestly, they don't read the Bible. They don't know what it says. They just open their ear and let somebody else dump what they think it says in there, or what they want to tell them it says in there. They don't read it. But God had a desire for man to stay clean and to be clean in a sinless place. And God had a direction for Adam. He said, stay away from the knowledge of good and evil. Stay away from that fruit. Don't eat that fruit. And the whole time you're alive on this earth, the devil's going to be offering you that fruit. He said, well, so-and-so fell. He must have been a horrible person. Well, I'll tell you what it was. He got weak. He wasn't reading his Bible. He wasn't praying. He wasn't asking God for strength on a daily basis. And the next thing you know, the devil offers him that fruit, maybe the 500th time. And finally he says, I'll just take the fruit. Amen. Like any of us would. After a long attack. When the devil knows when you're weak, he knows how to wear you down. But God knows how to strengthen you. Amen. So we see God's desire for man. We see God's direction for man. And then we see the desire of the devil. Look at chapter number 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The desire of the devil is to come between God and man. That's what he wants to do. If you're right with God, the devil hates you. If you're saved, the devil hates you anyway. But boy, it's a double dose of hate if you're right with God. His desire is to come between God and man. That's why he went down there. And that's why, I'll tell you, the Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, they do it too. When women didn't work all the time, when women were at home, they'd go around in the daytime where the men were working and they'd pick on the women.
That's right. Amen.
You know? And what they do, they get to these houses where the men weren't taking their families to church.
Right. Amen.
And the women would become the spiritual leader and take them in the wrong direction. Amen.
Amen.
That's what they did. They still do that, but they're probably finding stay-at-home dad with a dress on now once in a while, but I don't know what they're finding. But it's just not as easy for them to call out the women because the women are working and gone all the time and everybody's running all the time. I don't even know how they get anybody to answer the door. Everybody's running all the time. I drive down the road 57, 58 mile an hour. Don't tell anybody because that's 55. But I drive down there 57 mile an hour. I got people that pass me and just risk the life of them and their whole family to get around me to run 60 in front of me.
Yep.
And we've all done it.
Amen.
Oh, I'm in a hurry. I got to get somewhere. I've got something important going on. What are you doing? I'm going to Walmart. Amen. I'm going to Walmart so I can pick up some bread and complain about the music. Amen. I got to get there quick because you never know when I might want to go to somewhere else or do something. We're so important. We're always in a hurry. But the devil comes along and his desire is to get between God and man. His desire is to cast doubt on God's word and on God's intention. You see, we already know God's desire was for Adam to be clean. And the devil says, nah, it wasn't that. God just doesn't want you to be like him. But if you just eat that fruit, you'll be like him. Well, no, you won't. You'll have the knowledge of good and evil, but you won't be able to handle it like God can because God's right and righteous. So that desire of the devil is to pervert man's thought process, to come between God and man. The deceit of the enemy in verse 4 and 5, it says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." There he is attacking God's intentions. He's a liar, and he distorts the view of the truth. Listen, he distorts the view of the truth. He hasn't distorted the truth. He has false truth out there. I still have the truth. You still have the truth. And since you have the truth, and if you're not reading the truth, he'll just want to distort your view of the truth. We talked about that earlier. People don't read their Bible. They just open their ears and want somebody to dump it in there. And if you go to a church, I tried to show you scripture for what we believe. Amen? And if you go to church, a lot of churches don't do that. They go on feelings. They go on precepts. They go on what they call principles. And, you know, God is love. So their whole church is built on God is love. When they forget about God being judgment and God being just and righteous and having to judge sin, he has an obligation to himself to judge sin. He has an obligation. He has obligated himself by his word to judge sinners.
Right.
Amen? He's also obligated to himself by his word to save sinners. You know what it says? If you go to Jesus Christ, he'll in no wise cast you out. Am I good enough to get saved? You're probably just bad enough.
That's right.
Amen. Probably just bad enough. So the desire of the devil is to come between God and man, to cast doubt on God's words. The deceit of the enemy is to lie and distort the truth about Jesus Christ and God's word. And he's doing it all over the place. And you've got these preachers. I didn't know this. I know a lot of these charismatics and a lot of these prosperity guys, how they go on and on and on about sending your seed money in so God will bless you. And I understand, you know, that they're stealing the money from these little old ladies, that God's blessing them with enough to keep them going and not too much to keep their eyes off of him, and they're taking what little they got left. And I didn't know they actually said this. I knew they thought it. I believed it, that in their heart this is what was in there. But I was listening to a preacher talking about these Kenneth Copeland, some of these other guys, Benny Hinn, and some of these other jokers on there, some of these other devils on there. They're stealing people's money and lying about God, trying to, you know what, Paul or Peter said, your money perish with you. They're trying to buy the power of God. And that's what they're doing. They're trying to sell people the power of God and the blessings of God. And they do it. I didn't realize they actually come out and said it. But I guess God just makes them tell the truth once in a while, amen, even though they're liars. But they come out and said, apparently several years back, they had this big prosperity conference. I don't know whether Joel's team was there or not, but I'm sure he was, or at least his hair was anyway. But anyway, they had this big prosperity conference, and they said, he said that the little old women and people were just running up their stuff and money in their pockets because they're part of their gospel system was to say, you find the most blessed man you can find, and you give him money, and you'll be blessed. So they're filling their money up in their pockets until money's overflowing out of these guys' pockets. They drive in a Bentley, and people come in, take the bus and things like that, and, you know, they come in with their walkers, and they bring the last of their welfare, or the last of their Medicare, or whatever. They're bringing the last in, and they're stuffing it in these guys' pockets so they can go out and buy another jet. And they're telling these people, if a little old woman that's got $5 left offers it to you, take it. That way you can be, because you're anointed to be blessed, and that way she'll be anointed to be blessed. That's part of their theology. I don't know if they believe that or not, but it's of the devil. See, the devil's a deceiver. And he's a perverter of truth. A perverter of the view of truth. I hate to say perverter of truth because truth is always truth. You can't pervert it. You can't get rid of it. You can just pervert the view of it. You say, well, the new Bibles, are they truth? They're perverted. But that one's not. I still have truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I still have Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ still has me. I still have a Bible. The Bible hopefully still has me and you. Amen? But this deceit is so subtle sometimes, and we don't realize what's going on. I'm telling you, be careful and be prayerful and read your Bible. You have to have a reprieve from the attack. And it's not just Sunday morning and Wednesday night. It's not. You have to have a personal reprieve from the attack. And the only thing you can trust is your prayer life and praying over that book and getting that book to talk to you. That's all you can trust. You can't trust the things on YouTube. You can't trust me 100%. I can't trust you 100%. I can't trust me 100%. You have to have a reprieve from this garbage of this world, and you have to be anchored to that truth. You have to be giving yourself a daily dose of prayer and truth where you're getting a hold of God, and He's getting a hold of you, and you've got a chance to have a chance to make it. Because we're being attacked by so much stuff, there's no way. Only God could sort through what's going on out there. Only God. I mean, you can get on there, you can get on YouTube, or you can get on the whatever the video things are playing out there. I don't know what they all are, but you get on one of those things, you could be watching the best preacher you ever heard. He could be giving it gun barrel straight. He could be giving you verse-by-verse expository explanations of everything he's saying. And the next thing you know, the devil pops a commercial up with some of the most perverted, nasty stuff on there. And you were getting fed, and the next thing you know, the devil goes, "Wipe, we got to stop that." And then now they got them where you know, ain't no 7 second thing or 5 second skip. You got to watch 14 seconds of it and 12 seconds of another. And 20 seconds down the road, you're thinking about something else and you done lost what God was trying to tell you. You need a personal relationship with God by reading your Bible. You need to get alone with God. You need to say, "Hey, this 15 minutes, this 20 minutes, this half hour, I'm going to pray for 5 minutes. I'm going to pray for 20 minutes, whatever. I'm going to read the Bible for 15 minutes. I'm going to shut my phone off." And believe me, when you shut your phone off, it'll probably turn back on again, unfortunately. But you can shut it off.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, so I'm looking at some people at least my age. We didn't have phones.
Yeah.
Not even everybody had them in their house.
Yeah.
I mean, we had people come to our house to use our phone.
Yeah.
I remember my grandma and grandpa got indoor plumbing in the 70s, early 70s. I think that's about the time they got their phone. But you'll make it without a phone. I left the house without mine and went, "Good night, what am I going to do? What if somebody calls?"
Yeah.
Well, you know what? They'll leave a message. And you know, if I left it, maybe God meant it for good.
Yeah.
You listen, you call my message. My message gives you a plan of salvation. So if I forgot my phone, and maybe they're lost. Maybe they needed that. Maybe I needed that 2 hours without a phone. Now look, I'm glad that we have that technology in a certain sense for a certain reason. My wife goes to the store, and you know, and if she has a car trouble, she don't have to just wait on AAA. She can call me and say, "Hey, honey, your car broke down." I can say, "Well, yeah, it's because the mechanic's an idiot. Here I am." But, you know, there it is. One of these days, God's going to put us in a perfect vehicle. Amen. That vehicle is the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. We're going to be out of here. We're going to put us in there forever, and none of this other stuff's going to matter. Well, we're already in there. But anyway, the devil wants to deceive. And I was reading that. You bought that book? You brought that book, okay. I was reading that book. I read part of it, a lot of it, actually. And I was reading that excerpt about all these political leaders and these alleged preachers, alleged pastors of the God getting together and coming up with this, formulating this big declaration of what they're going to put up with and what they're not going to put up with, basically, and how they're going to, you know, be more inclusive, and they're going to forget about their differences and focus more on the similarities. Well, I mean, the similarity, most of them are going to split hell wide open. But I just heard the other day, I'm not saying this is true, but it does make a lot of sense, that AI, they're going to have AI rewrite the Bible to bring all the religions together. Now, listen. Hit the brakes for a minute and pay real close attention to this, because God told me this the other day, and I want you to have this. They are setting us up to believe that artificial intelligence is smarter than people, and all it is a program by wicked people. So you are going to be able to listen to this AI so you can start to think the way these wicked people want you to think. AI is not superior to people. AI is a conglomeration of wickedness that they're going to try to feed the world. And I believe the devil will use that for the one world religion. Talking about that in Sunday school, I don't know whether to call it artificial intelligence or angelic interference, because the fallen angels are interfering with God's work down here, trying to, and they're doing it through the computers. They're doing it through your iPhone's a computer. What they're trying to do is turn you into a computer.
Yep.
You know, computers don't think for themselves.
Right.
They don't.
Right.
You know what people do in 2022, 2023, 2024? I hope we're not here in 2024. But the people that are here, they're not going to think for themselves.
Yep.
If you want to be able to think for yourself, you better get alone with God and get in that Bible.
Amen.
You better do it. So, well, all these preachers always preach about reading the Bible and, you know, all this stuff. I go in Sunday and Wednesday, I'll be all right. No, you won't. You have never even imagined the amount of attack you're under right now. And you can't imagine it right now. You cannot imagine the amount of perverted thoughts you get in your head. I'm not talking about, you know, we're not talking about sensual, sexual things. We're talking about just perverted thoughts, things away from truth. And they're being planted in your head. They're trying to program you. They're trying to program us. And the only way, you say, well, you know, I always read the Bible. We always read the Bible together, and we always read the Bible together as a family. Sometimes it's not as much. Sometimes it's more, whatever. We read every day by the grace of God. But you say, well, you're brainwashing them. Yes, because their brain's getting dirty every single step of the way through the day.
Amen.
I don't need some stinking computer to tell me what to think, and I don't want to be the product of a computer telling me what to think that thinks like a computer. I want to think like God. So, well, how arrogant is that? That book says we have the mind of Christ.
Yep.
And you're a new creature. A new creature don't let all this garbage control them.
Amen.
A new creature takes a bath once in a while in the Word of God.
Yep.
A washing of water by the Word. And that Bible will clean you up. That Bible will give you a chance. That Bible will help you to cut through deception. And look, I'm not trying to beat you up over watching these conspiracy facts and all this stuff. Notice I didn't say theories. I'm not trying to beat you up over that. I'm trying to tell you that if you're doing that and you're not reading your Bible, you're going to be in bad trouble. Say, so, well, I'll make it. I'm saved. I'll survive. Yeah, but you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ one day, and you're going to be accountable for this book.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Too much is given, much is required. The desire of God is for His people to be in a clean place. Here we are on a Sunday morning, and I know we're all sinners, but we're clean up by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the words of God. If you've been reading your Bible, this is the cleanest place you'll ever be in until you get out of here. Amen. I'm telling you, to be in a church house with a real Bible, the Holy Spirit moving, the Word of God being preached and taught, that's the cleanest thing you'll ever see this side of heaven. And some of the filthiest stuff you'll ever see, you got to wade through it every day. I'm almost turning Amish on Sunday, man. I mean, we'll probably just go to church. We'll build a tunnel from your house to the church and just stay away from the world, amen. Just one day separated, amen. I mean, separated. I think we ought to live separated, but I mean one day separated from all the attack. From the attack. But it wouldn't be enough. You know what we need? You need every day some time separated from the attack. So I just like to listen to the old 70s music or something. Why don't you just listen to somebody read the King James Bible?
Yeah.
Amen? Why don't you read it, pray about it? Why don't you turn that on, listen to it?
Yeah.
Sit around at night, I just want to relax. I don't want to do anything but relax. I'm relaxing.
Yeah.
No, you're being programmed.
Yeah.
I mean, Alexander Scorby, whoever you want to listen to that's got a, you know, majestic voice, well, read that book. I mean, you can see Moses coming across there. I mean, when they're, oh. God didn't give me that gift. I don't have that type of voice where it's like I command the picture to be drawn in your mind. But boy, some of them guys got it, man. And Moses came down from Mount Sinai. And they were worshiping the golden calf. And you're like, good night, man. Where's the lightning? I mean, you can see it. They're building this picture in your head. Why not have a picture like that in your head? Amen. I mean, I hope that God will bless the message when I'm preaching about the flames of hell, people can see it.
Yeah, right.
And the lost can feel it.
Yeah.
But man, what are you living like when you're not in church? You say, well, I don't go to the bar, I'm not out dancing, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing the other thing. But what are you doing? Because you're being programmed. So, well, I'm still saved, I'm going out here to rapture. Yeah, but what are you going to do between here and the rapture? You're being programmed. You're being lulled into a sense of maybe not security, but satisfaction where you're at. Complacency. Yeah, I'm good. I think if we're not careful, preachers will do it to you. Yeah, the world's so wicked, ain't nobody listens anymore. And I'll tell you what, you might as well just go home, read your Bible, forget about the whole world, let the whole world go to hell. I mean, I'm not a Calvinist. I believe you give them the Word of God, there's a chance they're going to get saved. I believe if you don't give them the Word of God, there's no chance they're going to get saved. I believe that. I don't believe God's sitting up there going, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, you got it saved. I believe He's going, yeah, I'll save you. To anybody that calls on Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The desire of God's people to be clean, the direction of God, stay away from the knowledge of good and evil, and we just let it dump in all day long. And the bad part is, even when you make a choice to do the cleanest thing, the lesser of the evils, the devil says, yeah, but on the commercial, I'm going to give you this, I'm going to give you this, I'm going to give you that, and the music, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to Walmart, I don't even go in the booze aisle at Walmart. Hey, you might as well go hang out in the booze aisle. You listen to the rock music the same people that drink the booze listen to. Amen. You need a time to get clean. You need a time to get clean. Man, I tell you, we could have a church of 500. I could walk into a church of 500 and whittle that thing down to 20 in about 15 minutes. Amen. I guarantee it. Because nobody wants to hear this anymore. People just want to go home and forget about it. Well, that's a good message. What was it? I don't remember. What did he say? What did he preach out of? I'm trying to think about that. Let me think about that. It's about God. I know that. And it was out of the Bible. Yeah, it was out of the Bible. It was about God. Are you kidding me? Don't tell me. We've all done it. But some people do it every single week. They go in there, the preacher spiritually pats them on the back. I mean, takes them over to the little potty chair by the hand, tells them they're all right, and sends them on out. And they go, oh, I feel so good. What did he preach on? I don't know, but you ought to come hear it because I feel so good. I mean, I want to go to Walmart and dance around. Amen? But you need to be clean. You got to have some personal time with God. God wants you to be clean. God directs you to stay away from the knowledge of good and evil. The devil desires to come between you and God, to cause doubt about God's Word, cause doubt about God's intentions. You know, God never told you one thing that He didn't intend for your own good. And you know what He tells you? He tells you things so you can glorify Him, and that's for your own good. Because when you glorify Him, then you're doing what you were made for. And until then, you're not doing what you were created for. And, you know, they can roll out their Bentleys, and they can roll out their Rolexes, and they can roll out their $5,000 shoes, and their pants, and their airplanes, and all this stuff, and one of those guys at that conference supposedly said, well, yeah, God anointed me to have this stuff, and I just bought a $15,000 dog or some crazy thing like that. Well, I hope God makes you eat that dog.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I hope He made it with no salt. Raw. Sodden.
Amen.
Amen. Because you're feeding people filth and damning people to hell. Oh, I bought a 15,000. I hope that dog eats you. Eye for an eye. Love, love, love. I really would rather they get saved, but it looks like they've had the opportunity and passed it up, and now they're just thieving from people.
Right.
And they're robbing God, and it's not the tithes and the offering, it's by the truth. They're not giving the truth to the people that should be glorifying God, because the devil wants nobody to glorify God.
Right.
And they're running around this world with their fancy clothes and their fancy attitude and their Pharisaical attitude, and they're better than everybody else, and God's anointed them to be special. And the truth is, the devil's got them exactly where he wants them. And he'll do the same thing to us if we're not getting clean every day. If we're not spending some time with the Lord. If we're not getting in this Bible. Bible. So, well, the Bible's a good book. Well, read it. I believe it. Well, read it. I read it. Well, apply it. I apply it. Well, then reread it and reapply it. Amen. I mean, you tell me, you get sick and you go to the doctor. You know, most people, they pray after they go to the doctor because they find out the doctor don't know what they're doing half time.
Yeah.
But you pray, you go to the doctor, and the doctor, the Lord will line you up with a good doctor. You pray and you go to the doctor says, you got this, and you need to take this, 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 and this, and you need to do it every day. You know what people do? They go home and they take it every day.
Yeah.
You go to the preacher, and the preacher says, what you need to do is read your Bible every day. And you go, I don't know about that. I got all this stuff to do with the flesh. You know, I got to take my antibiotics, and I got to take my probiotics, my prebiotics, and I got to take my... You know, that probably comes from a chiropractor, because medical doctors don't understand what health is. They just understand what medicine is. But you go to the, I got to do all this stuff, and then I got to go to the, this appointment, that appointment, this appointment, that appointment. We can't make church half the time. and your soul's suffering. And the devil says, yeah, I got you where I want you. I got you so worried about the flesh, you could care less about God. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He shed his blood. You care less about him, though. I want you to worship your flesh. I mean, I want you to do everything you can to take care of this flesh. Ah, forget church. This flesh is tired. Let it stay home. And look, I'm not preaching that. I got people here that probably sometimes should stay home and they don't. And I'm not saying to stay home. I'm saying they got every reason worldly possible to stay home and they don't. You know why? Because they love Jesus Christ. And they spent some time in that book. And they value what God's done for them. And they respect and honor what God's purposed for them. Let me tell you what God's purpose for you again. You were created for His pleasure. And His purpose is for you to glorify Him. Amen. And if you got a $15,000 dog, I hope you send it to Kenneth Copeland and he has to eat it. Amen. Crazy world. We were in Kroger the other day and walking down the dog food aisle and looked at that dog food and there's this little package of this, three little rolls of little tiny things on this side and this side, $18.99. I thought, if that was human food, I wouldn't pay that much for it.
Amen.
If that come with the dog, I wouldn't give it for it. Amen. The seed of the enemy, he wants to lie to you and distort your view of the truth. Look at 6 through 8. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open. They knew that they were naked and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. We see the demise of mankind. You know what the demise of mankind was? Followed the devil instead of following God. You know what the demise of your spiritual walk would be? If you follow the devil instead of following God. And if you're not reading your Bible and you're not praying, you won't know who you're following.
Yeah, right.
So I just don't believe that. Well, believe it, because it says the devil comes as an angel of light. He's got ministers of righteousness. Think about this. Ministers of righteousness. You know what a real minister of righteousness is supposed to do? I'm supposed to give you a message about the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You know what the devil's ministers of righteousness are doing? I don't ever want to be one of them. I don't say this in pride. God protect me. I want to end well. I want to be right with you. Pray for me. But a minister of righteousness that the devil has, they're giving their own righteousness. Oh, I'm anointed. I'm the bishop. I'm the apostle. I'm this. I'm that. I have this office. God appointed me to have two jets. He appointed me to have this mansion. And one of them said at that conference, I guess he said, I got an 8,000 square foot place. I'm going to sell that place and I'm going to build one Solomon to be proud of. I said, well, you got Solomon's concubines too, probably, so you might as well just do what Solomon does.
Amen.
And if not, you got a bunch of people you're using as slaves out here to pay for your mess.
Amen.
Deceiving the people. Yeah. Little old lady, probably blood-bought, born again, never had any Bible training, never been in church, never, you know, she just got saved and she was raised in a, you know, milquetoast church, never had any Bible doctrine, and she goes to, well, she makes it to that conference, boy, she's just shaking down the aisle just to put her last $5 in that idiot's pocket so he can go home and buy something he don't need.
Yeah. Right.
And he could care less if she ate the dog food.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, he'd prefer it because then she's earning blessings. That's wicked.
Right.
They don't know what minister means. Minister means to give. That's what I'm here for. I try to give you a hard time. Amen. God gives me one. I ought to give it to you. Amen. I deserve it. The demise of mankind. Satan come along to wreck God's plan. But Jesus Christ came along to reconcile man. I usually don't try to rhyme stuff, but that laid out there just perfectly. I mean, Satan wanted to wreck God's plan, and Jesus came to reconcile man. Because when Jesus Christ was threatened in Genesis chapter 3, he threatened the devil with Jesus Christ. The devil's been after him all the way through the Bible. And if you got Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, he indwells you, you indwell him, then the devil's after you all the way through, and he just wants to get you. And you know, look, he don't have to show up as some kind of a supernatural shadow on your wall where they can take a meter and say, well, it's warmer here and colder there. He don't have to do that stuff. It's not Ghostbusters. He'll talk to you through your iPhone. He'll say something through your TV. Oh, he'll get your favorite sport, and at the halftime show, he'll mess your head up. Say, well, I turned it off. Yeah, but you already seen the devils dancing around. You already looked at 100,000 things you shouldn't have seen in about 4 seconds. But people won't give 4 seconds to the Word of God. I mean, how long would it take to read a verse? How many days you went through your life since you were saved without reading a verse? Okay, the altar's not full, but I see heads nodding. I'm telling you, we're a mess. It gets you to doubt. The devil will. Look back at chapter number 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. He gets you to doubt. And that's what he's done. And that's what he's done with these wicked Bibles. And I hope every preacher, I hope that somehow they hear this message. All of them. All of them. They've got these perverted Catholic Westcott and Hort witch doctor Bibles, and they're out there. You say, well, there's not that bad. Well, I'll tell you what they've got people to do. They've got people to doubt God's Word. Now people are going to line up and let artificial intelligence tell them what God's Word really means. And then, hey, I'll tell you what, they'll follow it. They'll follow it. And these people have been used of the devil, and they're used of the devil every single Sunday to get up in front of their church and correct the Bible and pretend like they know more than God does and go back to the Hebrew and Greek, where they don't even know what it says. They just look it up in some lexicon or some concordance. They don't know that there's a different Bible lines. If they do, they reject it and say, well, it's all the same. It's not all the same. Well, in the Hebrew, this means that. Well, how Hebrew are you? In the Greek, how much Greek do you know? Greek's a dead language. You tell me about it. Tell me what's Koine Street Greek you're talking about. Tell me what that word means. Hey, when the professors that study it and study it and study it can't all agree on it, but you can.
Yeah, amen.
All they want you to do. Devil knows he can't get rid of God's Word. He couldn't do it on Calvary, and he can't do it with his Bible, his King James Version of the Bible. But he wants to get you to doubt it. So when you do decide that, well, artificial intelligence, it doesn't make mistakes like humans, that's got to be it. We'll just let our creed be written by artificial intelligence. And just all the similarities of religion, well, we put it in one book and call it a Bible. And we can just all get along. And they can all get along and worship Satan. They're doing it anyway. They got his Bibles. That's a little harsh. No, it's just the truth. Say, so, well, they mostly say the same thing. A lot of them say similar things. But the attack wasn't just on getting rid of all the words. He wasn't trying to do that. He was trying to get everybody to doubt it. I've witnessed to people. You witness to people long enough, you're going to hear this. I've heard it several times. Which Bible? Well, the Bible says, which Bible? And I've had them go, well, you talking about the Greek? You talking about the... And I'm like, dude, man, you probably just finished high school. What you worried about Greek for? How about what the English says? Once you get down pat what this Bible says, and then worry about the Greek, amen? And if you don't make it to the Greek, God will still be all right with you. He wants to get you to doubt. He wants to get you to doubt Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He gets people to doubt that all the time. I talk to people all the time, clowns. The circus is just busted loose. These people, oh, no. We come, see, it, look, I've got almost 6 bachelor's degree worth of education. I count it all but dumb.
Amen.
The only one that's had any value to it was a Bible education.
Amen.
I feel guilty about wasting all my time on man's knowledge.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying there wasn't some good stuff that God blessed them with. But they come to me and they're like, well, you know, I've got an associate's in basket weaving and electronics and a secondary in toenail removal by accident. Okay, so let's hear your wisdom.
Yeah.
Well, and they always do this posturing thing. Science has figured out that 60 gazillion years ago, they use different numbers because the science books do, there was something happened. Well, now the Big Bang's embarrassed them so much, they don't even talk about it hardly anymore. But something happened. And then here we are. Yeah, what about the 6 billion years? What happened in the middle of that?
Yeah.
Oh, something happened. And then they found a bone. And then they built this big dinosaur out of that bone. You notice I said bone?
Yeah, that's right.
They ain't never found a complete anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only complete thing they've done is completely made a fool out of themselves. But they found this, they found that, and they have proven that evolution is true. Well, there's only one way to scientifically prove evolution is true, and they can't do it because it's a lie. But the only way to prove it's true is to reproduce it. Can't do it. That's science. Science is not reproducible. It's not science. Period. You know, I'm not some supernatural super physicist or anything, but I've been to school. I spent time around a Bunsen burner. I've spent time with an Erlenmeyer flask. I spent time in a chemistry lab. I spent time in public health. I spent time in biology and microbiology and biochemistry and chemistry and organic chemistry and all that stuff. I don't know much about petroleum chemistry. If I did, I'd probably start an oil company. But I mean, we need an oil company, the Holy Spirit. We need to start getting the Holy Spirit out there, but that's for free. But I don't know everything, but I know when something's not right a lot of times. I know enough a lot of times to go, you're an idiot. I'm an idiot, and you think that, you're bigger than an idiot than I am. But they do that. Because, hey, do you believe, I've had them ask me, do you actually believe that God created this? I said, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created heaven and the earth. You better believe it. You better believe it. You're not making a monkey out of yourself, you're making a donkey out of yourself. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You better believe it. Because you can't get saved not believing it. Well, I think I'm pretty good. I'll just add Jesus in. No, you're not pretty good. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, you better believe it. Well, I'm not that bad of a person. Oh, you're worse than you think. You better believe it. Because you're not being judged by your neighbor, the drunken pervert that doesn't know whether he's a boy or a girl. You're being judged by God Almighty in a book. You better believe it. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. You better believe it. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You better believe it. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart God has raised him from the dead. You better believe it. Because you don't get to heaven without it. These Jehovah's Witnesses, unless they were saved before they got in that mess, they'll split hell wide open, and the only kingdom they're going to have is the kingdom of Satan. They're going to spend an eternity in a lake of fire where the fire's never quenched, the worm dieth not, in agony with gnashing, weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth, wishing they could get a touch of water on their tongues, and it'll never come. You better believe it. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You better believe it. If you don't accept what Jesus Christ has done as a gift and you're not adding anything to it or taking anything away from it, you're not getting it. You better believe it. The rapture coming. Oh, you believe the rapture? Well, that was just something invented in the... No. No, actually, we talked about that in Sunday school. There were people who wrote about it in like 100 AD and before. And some of them were Bible perverters. And even they realized there was going to be a rapture before the tribulation and a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on this earth. I'm talking about Catholic people, even people that Roman influence, people that Origen, Eusebius, you go down through that line of people. Some of these people wrote about this rapture. They wrote about us getting caught out of here before the tribulation. They wrote about Jesus Christ literally reigning for 1,000 years on this earth. They just made up about 100 years ago. No, it's not. But you can tell anybody anything. And you tell 100 people something, 99 of them won't even check it out. I'm talking about saved people. They won't check it out. Well, my priest has never said that. Your priest never will because he works for the devil. Your preacher, my preacher's never said that, so it can't be true. You got a Bible, check it out. See if your preacher's a liar or not. That Bible says let God be true and every man a liar. If God wrote that book's true. Your preacher's a liar. Whether you like it or not, all of them are. Amen. Just make sure he's not lying to you about spiritual things. Amen. You catch me the right day of the week and my car is the biggest piece of junk you ever seen and I want to get rid of it, I might go, it's a pretty good car. I'll take $50 for it. And I won't feel bad because the junk price is $60. You all right? Yeah. So when you get it home, you can junk it and we're even. Amen? Yeah. But, you know, every man's a liar. You need time with that book. Oh, that tribulation time is going to come and things are going to change. People are going to be beheaded. People are going to be forced to take the mark or starve to death. They're going to be forced to trust God's what's going to happen. The ones that head to the mountains and God takes care of them, you better believe it. There's going to be a battle of Armageddon. And I'll tell you something, that battle is going to be like no other battle. I mean, Patton would be shaking in his shoes, hiding in somewhere. Patton's saved probably, so MacArthur. I don't know, any of them lost guys that they put rave on about, and there were some good leaders, generals. But they'd be shaking in their boots, hiding in a foxhole somewhere when Jesus Christ comes back. They ain't going to be standing up going, go forward. They're going to be going, let's get out of here. There's a battle like you ain't never seen coming. And guess what? I'm coming back with him. And you are too. You better believe it. Amen. Say, well, there's no rapture. Well, then how do I come back with him? Because he's going to rapture us out of here today, right? I hope. You better believe it. I don't know about today, but you better believe it. There's a rapture. There's a tribulation time, and it's literal, it's not figurative. There's a battle of Armageddon coming. There's a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, but he'll rule with a rod of iron. You know, all these people around the world, they think they're going to bring in peace. The UN's going to bring in peace. All this Antichrist stuff, all this AI stuff, Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg and all these idiots. They're going to go, oh, man, I like Elon. Yeah, I don't know about that guy either. I think he needs to get saved. That's what I think. Then I like him. I love him as a brother in Christ. Then. Right now, I just hope he gets saved. And if I had to pick between him and Mark, if I was a Calvinist God and a God, I'd say, well, Mark, sorry. He's just a little too wicked. Yeah. I'm glad God's not like that, amen. I hope Zuckerberg gets saved too. Yeah, amen. I'm glad it's not a choice between the two. They can both get saved. Yeah. Amen. You better believe it. 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, and there's going to be another battle, that battle of Gog and Magog. Fire is going to come down from heaven, just consume all the enemy that are going to be against Jerusalem, that holy city, and God's people. That fire is going to come down from heaven and just destroy Satan's army. You better believe it. So, well, the Bible, it's figurative. No, you better believe it. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. God just might give you 1,007 years so you can see it. Amen. If you doubt it, it'll happen. Talking about lost folks. Man, Satan's going to be a cast in a lake of fire. You better believe it. Oh, yeah. If there's a way, now see, I won't be like I am now. Because I'll be a total new creature. I'll have a new body, have the mind of Christ. But if I was there like I am now, woo! I'd praise God. I'd be the loudest one. You better believe it. Satan cast in a lake of fire? Forever. Forever. Where the beast and the false prophet, it says, are and had been for 1,000 years when that happened since Satan. Isn't that something? I'm not are now, but when Satan gets cast, they'd been there for 1,000 years. 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to try to wrap this up real quick. But the day of the Lord, verse 10, will come as a thief in the night. And the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. There's your global warming. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. You better believe it. You better believe it. So I know they might force you if we're here long enough to pay a carbon tax, but don't voluntarily do that. Because God's the one that burns this place up. You better believe it. You better believe it. Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci, Wahoo Lab, people over there, whatever that Yahoo Lab, whatever it is over there, Wuhan, you better believe it. All these population control people, all these tree huggers that all they do, they do everything against what they tell you to do and just try to siphon money out of your pocket, you better believe it. Hey, they're going to find out one day that God's going to destroy this place. So when will they find out? When they're standing before God, they'll know it. They get saved, they figure it out now. Revelation 20, it talks about that white throne judgment and the dead being judged and those not found written in the book of life are cast into the lake of fire forever. You better believe it. If you really believed it, wouldn't you tell your family members? We got some tracts out there now. I wouldn't hand them out to just anybody, but they say, little purple tracts, they say Gary Wright's on them. Don't get the wrong idea and don't run out of the church. It says they have the right to be judged as sinners, they have the right to die and burn in hell, they have the right to get saved. So if you know, I'm not just talking about handing them out at random, but if you have a family member, and almost everybody does now, you can give that to them. Say, I want to talk about your rights. Amen? I ordered a couple different ones. One of them had that weird flag on it, and I didn't want to be associated with that, so I tossed them. But that one there just goes down, they have a right to get saved. They have a right to not burn in hell by trusting Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. If they've not totally been given over to a reprobate mind, they still have that chance. One day every knee will bow. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of the Father. You better believe it. So I just can't believe Adolf Hitler. I can't believe that, Bill Gates. I mean, he sits up there and that guy's got some problems. I'm not even sure he's human. But he's got some problems. I'm not into psychology. I think psychology is the devil for the most part. But I think most psychologists would say that guy's clinically nuts. I mean, he's a nut. He sits there and the stuff he does, watching his body language. I mean, he just sits up there and just lies. And you can tell he's lying. He don't care. What's he care for? He's got $1 billion in the bank. That's all he worships. And himself. Because he wants to be able to pretend he's God and save the earth. But what he's doing is saying, I'm not going to let God destroy this place. That's what he's saying. You better believe it. But God will. And every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. If you're lost or anybody you know is lost, they're headed to hell. You better believe it. I've had them tell, well, there ain't no hell. I don't believe in hell. And I don't believe that a loving God would put them in hell. I said, well, let me tell you what a loving God did. A loving God sent His only Son, His only begotten Son, so you don't have to go to hell. Because He's a loving God.
Well, I don't know about that.
Acts 20:28 says, God shed His blood to wash away our sins. This is God's blood. So Jehovah's Witnesses, you better believe it. I talked to a guy the other day. I said, well, it's God shed His blood on Calvary. Oh, yeah, it's all Jesus Christ. I said, yeah, God shed His blood according to... Well, it wasn't actually God's blood. It was Jesus' blood. There's only one God. I said, yeah, it's Jesus Christ. You read Isaiah chapter 9, you'll figure out He is the everlasting Father. That's what the Bible says. But, you know, some preacher somewhere told him that, well, no, Jesus is one and God's another and they're separate and Jesus is less than God. No, Jesus is part of the Godhead. Oh, you believe in the Trinity? Oh, absolutely. I absolutely do. I believe God the Father in Genesis 1 created everything with His Spirit, the second part, and His Son and the Spirit, second, third part of the Trinity. I believe you can find it in Genesis 1, 1, 2, and 3. There are three that bear witness in heaven. Yeah, I believe in the Trinity. Let us make man in our image. Body, soul, and spirit. Three-part man, three-part God. Yeah, I believe in the Trinity. You don't have to call it a Trinity if you don't want to, but there's three parts. Better believe it. Do I think you ought to read your Bible? I mean, I know you ought to read your Bible. I know we all ought to read it more. But do you think God thinks you ought to read it? You better believe it. You better believe it. But don't read it just because I told you to. Read it because you love the Lord and you're tired of being assaulted by the devil all the time and you want a reprieve. Life stinks. This place is tough. But God's given us a place of rest in our church and our Bibles. And if the Bible wasn't in the church, we wouldn't even have the church to rest in. Amen? You better believe it.